Welcome back to Brass Tax Sunday, brought to you with the kind compliments of Williams Industries. Now, we have Dr. Talord here with us, and we are talking COVID-19. A very good program so far, very informative, lots of questions, and we are getting lots of answers, and I think that that is what is important. Before we go back to the line, I want to talk back to the WhatsApp, and then we're going to come to some calls. This one says, good afternoon, Corey and Dr. Lord. I'm calling on the government to, one, have daily official briefings at specific times, similar to hurricane season, to give the public up-to-date information on our country's status, symptoms to watch for, and what to do for suspected cases. And two, immediately pay all outstanding monies to all nurses. They are already under tremendous stress, and we may soon be asking these same people to go the extra mile caring for others when they themselves are currently unable to support themselves.
Yeah, I agree with the daily briefings. Once there's something happening, we need to know updates on what's going on, how many tests are done, and if there are any cases to be concerned about. I truly the Government Information Service can do something of that nature.
Mm-hmm. No comment on the nurses?
No comment on the nurses. That's beyond
this, me. This is what is asking. How many local people have been tested for COVID-19? Is the Ministry of Health and Wellness not testing locals with symptoms? Any you know about?
I am not aware of the numbers. And we
had any at all, though? Any testing at all?
We've been tested mainly visitors who may have had... From
the cruise ship?
Cruise ships and so on, and those at the hotels. And there may have been locals as well, but that information has not been made available to me, and I'm not working in the Ministry of Health and Wellness, so I can't talk about that.
Okay. There are some things that we are saying on the program that I think we're going to have to keep repeating. The number, for one, the whole idea of looking after oneself, boosting the immune system, the fruits, the vegetables, the fluids, the exercise, the rest, the no touching of the eyes, nose, or mouth, and keeping yourself well sanitized, keeping those hands clean with water and soap, washing for 20 seconds, or alcohol-based hand sanitizer if available. So we're going to go back to the lines now and say good afternoon and welcome. 20 minutes before 1, you're on the air.
Good morning, Corey.
Hi, good afternoon to you.
And good morning to Dr. Lord.
Good afternoon.
Yes. You know that Guyana has 4 cases now.
I was not aware, but thanks for the information.
Yes, the husband, the one, the children, and someone that live at the residence, plus the lady that died.
Okay.
I want to know something. When the Prime Minister come in, and does she get checked at the airport? Or she walk right through?
I am not aware of where the Prime Minister arrives and where she goes, or where everything. But no, I think they treat all the citizens the same way. And if the Prime Minister, if it is felt that the Prime Minister was in contact with anyone who may have had the or any of her delegation, then the same as has been seen, the Prime Minister of Canada, the same protocol would be in place. The President Trump also was tested recently, yesterday, I believe. So she would be tested if need be.
And before you go any further, Ms. Decided, I'm very impressed with this worldometers.info/coronavirus website, because they actually have the Guyana, the four. They have
it
here.
Yeah.
So there's updating, is actually refreshing itself all the time. So I don't want people to just take numbers from any and everywhere. This is tied into the international thing, World Health, etc. So that all official cases pass through this website. So if you want to know the actual information, don't listen to every Tom, Dick, and Susie. Go to worldometers.info/coronavirus. The other thing, caller, is that I'm not sure either of the procedure, but one of the things I was impressed with, when I was in prison, and you have a superintendent nurse, he's the head of the prison. When he comes to security, man, take off your hat, and they search him too. I was like, whoa, because when you're trying to isolate or you're trying to keep an area sanitized, and that could be sanitized by health or sanitized by contraband or whatever, you have to check every single person. It could be the governor general, okay? Mm-hmm. I'm sure they probably won't check her. But anyhow.
So, Corey, there you see 4 cases.
It has 4 cases for Guyana. That's why I'm impressed with it now. Because I thought it was update. I thought it was updating like by the couple of days or whatever, or by the day at midnight or whatever. But it's refreshing all the time. So it has the 4. And it has the 1 death. It has everything. Whoa.
Mm-hmm.
I'm impressed. Okay. Go ahead. Any other questions, queries, or comments?
Dr. Lord, in your opening remarks, you say to keep 2 meters away, right? Did you say that?
Three.
3 feet.
3 feet.
Anyhow, now you say no to do that. People should go to gatherings. You know we're going to gather with everybody together, at crop up everybody together. So how can you be telling us to keep 2 meters away and not and still telling us that the gatherings should still go on? That confusing.
Yeah, that'd be confusing. I'm not sure if I said that we need to do it at this time, but if we do have suspected cases, then that would be one of the things, social distancing, is that we will have to put in place. So this time it says there are no cases, so therefore you don't need to distance yourself from anyone at this time.
So you say, and that's it. I see my prime minister going over there and going, and she hugging them and shaking hands. We set a war example there, and she's doing the opposite.
That's so, what they mentioned that here on the program.
Okay.
So sometimes, you know, it's habit, and one needs to be conscious of what you need to do. And if she has been doing that, and you've put her right, I'm sure she will be listening to you now and do the right things from here on in.
And the same thing happened with President Trump and so on. So you see, he went and he was shaking hands and so on. Then he had the briefing with the Irish Prime Minister or whatever, and he decided, okay, we're not shaking hands. Because one of the things we forget all the time, our leaders are human beings too. Therefore, I think that it is important where we can have that kind of communication with them to tell them, you know. And it's so good to see her number one fan looking out for her interests. So that is beautiful. Ross, that Sunday, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Corey, and good afternoon, Dr. Adrian Lord.
Hey, good afternoon.
I have a question for you, Dr. Lord. Could high blood pressure medicines worsen coronavirus symptoms?
I would say no.
Okay. So that means that these ACE inhibitors and angiotensin receptor blockers increase the amount of an enzyme in the coronavirus uses to infect the body?
I am not aware of that. I know the ACE inhibitors in very small percentage of persons may cause a cough, but it wouldn't cause you to be more
like
likely
Liprosin.
To...
Liprosin causes a dry cough, right?
Like Sinopril, yeah. That can cause a dry cough in some persons, not in all.
And what do they do if they do develop that dry cough?
Then they should inform the doctor who will
give
probably
them an alternative.
Yes.
Okay. Thank you very much. Oh, there was one other question. That's not a question. Tell Miss Undecided, or if you're listening, Miss Undecided, don't worry about this prime minister. She's going to be around for a very, very long time. Thank you. Have a good afternoon.
You're welcome.
Ross, that Sunday, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, gentlemen.
Hey, good afternoon.
Doctor, I have two questions for you.
Okay.
One, if you are diagnosed with the coronavirus and you are in quarantine or isolation, and then you get over it, is this something that can return? That's one. And the other thing I want to say to you, sir, is that I heard you saying today that you can use Clorox. And in another area of the medical fraternity, I hear them saying that Clorox is no use, especially if you put hot water with it. So it confuses people. That's why there's so much panic. Because one set of the medical fraternity is saying you can use Clorox. Another set is saying you shouldn't use Clorox because it is useless. What you should use instead is chlorine to wipe table contours and that kind of stuff.
Okay.
Dr. Lord, I would hang up and listen to you, sir.
Yeah, but thank you for bringing up those questions. I never used the name Clorox. I don't think I used the actual brand name, but disinfectant. The problem is not the Clorox or the disinfection, it's the hot water. You can use it with cool water. So that was the issue there. No hot water with the Clorox, because the hot water would disinfect, will disintegrate the disinfectant. As far as can you return, We don't know. There have been some cases where in China, a few cases where some people who were discharged from the isolation center or from the hospital, where they then were tested positive again. So we don't know. That is not the norm. And just to tell you about quarantine and isolation, quarantine is where you have persons with suspected cases, where there are persons who may have been exposed to the virus or may have been in contact with persons who may have been exposed to the virus. That is where you quarantine, and quarantine can be self-quarantined by staying at home and not associating with other persons even within the home, or be in the quarantine center that is being set up or has been set up in St. Lucie. Isolation is those persons who have become symptomatic and need medical care, and that isolation center is in the Enmore complex, and that is at present a 6-bed center. So there are differences between isolation and quarantine. So quarantine is the separation of a person, a group of persons believed to have been exposed to the disease or who have been in contact with persons who have been exposed to the disease, whereas isolation is where the person has been infected or believed to be having infected, having been tested, and therefore needs specific care.
All right, couple of WhatsApps and then back to the line. They say, is there a connection between, if there is a connection between sunlight and heat in minimizing the virus, not sure all this staying indoors is healthy. How many of us have caught the bug while visiting a cold country, but our condition improves as soon as we land on our sunny shores?
Generally, viruses don't like the hot weather. We've had our own outbreaks of the flu, and you know the nights are cooler and so on. We get a lot of flu symptoms around this time of the year or earlier this year. But this virus, we don't know for sure. What we do know is that in Africa, where it is warmer, there have been cases, and Corey can tell you the number of cases in the African continent, and here in the Caribbean, there have been cases of, most of them, of course, imported cases. I am not privy to know what the cases in Africa, if they're human-to-human transmission, which can happen, but most of the cases in the Caribbean seem to have been imported cases. The case that was just mentioned in Guyana, where the lady who died and now the relatives seem to have come down with the symptoms, that is obviously now the human-to-human transmission. We don't know if those persons also traveled from, I think the UK is where she came from.
I believe so, yes.
Yeah, UK. And came through Trinidad. Mm-hmm. We don't know if those things, the details are not available to me at this time. But the warm weather, we don't know much about that yet because we haven't had chance to see what happens in the warm weather in the Caribbean and other areas when it gets hotter in North America and Europe, what the effects will be.
All right, this one says, what is so special about Barbados that despite thousands of international movements by sea and air in and out of our country, from countries affected by the virus, not a single case has been recorded? Please explain.
I can't explain that. God is a Bajan. No, we can't use that.
Can't be last ever hear that one.
No, we, at this time, I believe that we will get cases of COVID-19 in Barbados. We are doing our screening. We are doing our border controls as much as we can to keep it out as much as we can. But it's just that as of Sunday, March 15th, there will be no confirmed cases in Barbados. So we've just been fortunate so far. But it won't be always so.
True. Last one before we go back to the lines. Good afternoon, Corey and Dr. Lard. Is there information on the number of deaths in black people versus the whites? I'm hearing blacks are stronger.
I don't have that information either, but I can tell you based on the number of cases in the various parts of the world, most of the persons who have been contracted the virus have been from Caucasian countries, mm-hmm. in Europe, in China, and so on. The number of deaths in cases in the African continent have not been great, and it doesn't mean that we are stronger.
Is that normal, though, for viruses to act different within genetic or racial makeups or anything like that in the past?
I am not aware of that either. Because I'm not sure.
The conspiracy theorists usually think and talk about viruses being created for specific races and so on, like HIV, it was designed for black people. And you hear that kind of stuff, but there's no scientific backing behind any of
that. Not that I'm aware of.
Okay, good. We go back to the lines. 7 minutes before one, Brass Tack Sunday, you're on the air.
Good afternoon, Paul.
Hey, good afternoon.
How are you?
I'm well, thanks.
On your program and to your guest, Lord. Corey, there seems to be much uncertainty about the virus that the world is facing. And I commend you for trying to educate our people as to how they should respond. And I really like Blind's submission, so that we look at it from all the facets. However, there's one element that I think that we are not focusing on, even though the health element is very important. I am wondering, when are we going to focus on the economic impact that this will have on our small country? I know that no one is really given any serious dialogue, or I have not heard any serious dialogue on this element of it, because I believe you believe in the economic sphere, there is always the multiplying factor. And already, I think last week or before, I think it was last week, we heard that the hotel sector have been impacted by somewhere in, over $1 million in cancellations thus far. And I believe that could be climbing as the airlines continue to cut back on their flights and that sort of thing. As a result, I'm wondering, given that our economy is being held up by the tourist sector, I am wondering, how would that multiplying effect impact us going forward? Because after we get over COVID-19, then we have to rebuild. Is it going to rebound in a hurry? Do we have the resources to put any buffers in place to assist citizens or assist companies whom will have a financial impact as a result of tourists not coming? That is the aspect I would really like to also have feed into the discussion. What is government's plan for addressing these situations? Because without a case, we have already had over $1 million in cancellation. I believe in the tourist industry, $1 million is a small figure, but I believe that figure will begin to climb exponentially. Right? What is government's plan relative to that aspect of it? Do they have any funding that they would be putting at the disposal of persons to assist them to get over this hump? As you, I would even go and be as crazy as to say that I believe within the next month or two, this is going to be all bad. It is no way that the world's economy can continue to grind to a halt as we are seeing across the world at this point.
Yeah.
Large international games that bring in millions of dollars are having to be cancelled and postponed. That is economic activity that is grinding to a halt. For little Barbados, who gets the spin-off from those activities, wherever they might be, people might decide, oh, I'm going to travel during that period, whatever the case might be. We are also grinding to a halt. And as a result, whereas the said people we are trained, who has gone out and bought up all the toilet paper, the sanitizers and all whatnot, a few months from now when the layoffs start, where are they going to get funds from to help protect the said health that we are trying to focus on? I am concerned. My biggest worry, I'll be honest with you, is the economic impact that Barbados will take from this matter, more so than the health impact, because yes, we have an aging society, but I believe if we educate those persons that they can also assist in protecting themselves from being infected. Hence, we can reduce the health impact. But that economic one, I don't know how we're going to do it. The other thing is, I heard the president of BARP indicated that she is going to have some educational sessions and she's going to have people coming together. I would advise her that she should not go that route. She should seek to use technology. She should have some, either some lives or some those electronic forums whereby persons can tune in and have the information, even if the person, you have about five or six persons who are doing the presenting, just like how you are having your program today. You mm-hmm. have a limited amount of people in your studio. But I'm sure if you put that on Facebook or put it on Skype or something, persons could be able to tune into your studio, see the persons presenting and participate in it just the same.
One of the things I want to assure you, Colin, apologies for cutting in because we got to move it along. Is that during the week, you're going to be hearing a lot of the players, the tourism ministry, the health ministry, the economic ministry, speaking to each of these. Now, this program obviously can be all things to all people. What has to happen is we have to bring in the experts to speak on their field. We can't expect everyone to speak on everything because then that is where we get misinformation. So I just want you to stay tuned and don't panic. So allow Dr. Lord to
Corey, reply to As far as I know, mm-hmm. as we speak right now, there mm-hmm. is consultations occurring at the Lord Erskine Sandiford mm-hmm. Center with the economic teams.
Correct.
That's why they're not here.
They did the media team on Friday. So GIS, all the things he asked for is going to be rolled out. But yeah. It has to be rolled out systematic. You can't have it all over the place saying people get confused. People get confused. They have to put it in a very strategic way and targeted manner. So, but it's good that he raised it because other yes. people may have that question in their mind. So be able to speak not only to him, but to many other people listening. A lot of questions here. I just try to get through all of them. Someone is saying, if you actually get the virus, what do you take for it? Is there any medication, over-the-counter stuff? What can you take?
We treat the symptoms. Mm-hmm. So if you have the fever, you treat the symptoms with paracetamol, two tablets every 4 to 6 hours as necessary. If you're coughing, and cough suppressant might be the treatment there. Of course, if you keep your fluid intake as high as possible. So it's symptomatic treatment. Of course, if the complications occur, then that's where you need to seek specialist medical attention, and then that would be appropriately treated. So it's symptomatic treatment.
I just received official information that the Prime Minister, the Attorney General, and the rest of her delegation, they were screened when they returned from Guyana on Thursday. And this is from an official source. So I see it's good. You know, it's good that the questions are asked because then they can be answered. So there you go. Persons fail to realize we are a tourism-based country to shut it down and then do what? We don't have bauxite, gold, etc. We have to balance the two, protecting the country and the economy. This one says, hi, Corey. I lost the Brastats number, but in relation, this is a trade unionist in the schools, by the way. I don't know if they want, the person wants me to mention the name, but it says, in relation to Dr. Lawrence's comment on grandparents taking care of children at home and being exposed as an excuse not to close schools, isn't the other side of the coin also applicable? The more children stay at school and mix and mingle, don't they increase the risk of exposure to the virus in school, on their way to and from school, and therefore pose a greater risk to the elderly in their home circle? And what about the teachers with pre-existing conditions being needed in schools to supervise children? And I can call the name. It's Marianne Redmond from the Barbados Secondary Teachers Union, because she's actually doing her job here. She's looking out for teachers with pre-existing conditions. What say you, Dr. Lord?
Yes, Marianne, that is correct. And what she's saying is an issue that obviously persons have taken into consideration in the other countries of the Caribbean where they have done that. And I'm sure that we will look at that, and it's a very good perspective that you're putting there. The children spread it amongst one another. They don't get very sick, but then they can take it home to the family and also to the providers of the education in the school, the teachers, as well as other staff at the in the school environment.
All right, one more or two more, and then back to Lynn. Quick one. What about mosquitoes? Mosquitoes biting someone with COVID-19 and then biting you?
That mosquito hasn't been made yet. The mosquitoes must be a vector to take along the virus, like how we have the dengue and so on. So that mosquito hasn't evolved or mutated in order to carry it on, but it's not passed on that way. It's by droplets.
Okay. Hi, Corey, I have a question and comment. Please ask Dr. Lord, what is the satisfactory amount of vitamin C to take daily to boost your immune system? My comment is, I agree with Dr. Lord about the overload of media coverage. Last night, I was literally paralyzed with fear after days of immersion in media coverage from the USA. I knew I couldn't get to sleep in that state. What I did was to stroll through my MCTV channels and stumbled on a children's Christian channel, and I went to sleep so calm and happy, having watched several programs. It was quite refreshing. I would advise to know or familiarize yourself with facts of prevention and act accordingly. Thanks for sharing my message. Vitamin C, daily dosage.
I think it's 500 to 1,000 milligrams per day. And that is to prevent.
To prevent. Okay, good. Good afternoon, Corey and Dr. Lord. I must commend the People's Cathedral Church for being proactive for some time now by putting hygienic practices in place whereby the commune servers use hand sanitizer before they serve commune. They serve the wafers by hand placed in each person's hand. Also, they use individual cups for wine placed in several cup holders. More denominations should follow suit.
Yeah, several other denominations do abide by that. I've seen it both here and other places. And that gives me to put a little plug in on Tuesday evening at 7 p.m. at the Church of Christ the King Anglican Church in Rock Dundo. This Dr. Adrian Lord, you said Dr. Exercise Lord. I'll be talking about COVID-19 and the church, and it's open to everyone to attend. There's no collections will be made, and no admission fee. But seriously, I'll talk more about that then, the church and COVID-19, on Tuesday evening, 7 o'clock, Church of Christ the King. But yes, other churches have been using that, and the hand sanitizers have been in place. And you'll see more and more of that being instituted in the Anglican Church, which I'm a member, and some of the other churches.
Okay, good. Brilliant. Let's go to the lines. Good afternoon and welcome. You're on the air.
Good afternoon.
Hi, good Hello. Afternoon. Hi, good afternoon. Afternoon.
Yes, can you hear me?
Loud and clear.
Okay. I was thinking in reference to the proposed date for the starting up of the crop over. I see it's here as the 23rd of the month of May. That's the opening day for Crop Over Festival. And have they given any consideration to perhaps postponing that? I mean, you can think of no greater exposure to viruses or diseases than the mass of people on Crop Over pounding down the street half undressed and sweating and a lot of alcohol, and people are just rubbing up on one another. And this is then you hear them say, avoid people, stand so many feet away from the next person, don't overtire yourself. And what about the Crop Over Festival? And if people pay a lot of money for costumes and to come to Barbados, and then they're told only at the last minute, you know, that it's not going to take place because of this disease that's so rampant, maybe they should give consideration now, which is just 2 months away. Well, how could they handle that?
I'm sure that the National Cultural Foundation and the Ministry of Creative Economy, Culture and Sports will look into that, and I'm sure they're looking at it as we speak. And a decision will be made based on sense, as we say, and also the probability of any possible spread of the virus in Barbados. Jamaica just postponed their carnival until October, so the earlier the better is correct.
Mm-hmm. All right, Brastat Sunday. Now, someone's reminding me earlier, I said brevity is levity, so I want levity and brevity. So, yes, thank you for that. Brastat Sunday, good afternoon. You're on the air.
Good afternoon, Corey.
Hi, good afternoon.
It's Joanne here. How are you?
Hey, my colleague. How are you? I'm well, thanks. And you?
Not too bad, Dr. Lord. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Joanne.
Okay, Corey, really interesting program. I actually was on the phone holding on and listening, and I'm not complaining. I actually thought we got information here and valuable information. But the reason I'm calling is to lend my voice to sort of to see if we can reduce the level of panic and hoarding that we see going on. And one of the persons that called you earlier, Rosalind Hurley, I was really touched by her call because she made some valid points. So I'm hoping that my contribution today would help address Rosalind's concerns as well as the concerns of some of the elderly persons in here in Barbados. A couple of days ago, about a week and a half ago, I myself went to a supermarket to get hand sanitizer, and unfortunately there was none. Made a few calls, same response. So I took it upon myself as a citizen and a mom to call the suppliers to see if maybe they're coming in a timely fashion. And unfortunately, it would not be here from what I was told until maybe sometime in April in some cases. So I spoke to Collins and to ask him a question, and Collins Limited gladly jumped on board with this initiative that we can make some safely because it's a laboratory, Collins, and we will be making about 1 million milliliters of hand sanitizer, and that would equate to about 4,234 bottles, 8-ounce bottles to be distributed. Now, the distribution of this free hand sanitizer will be given to the ministry. Some of it will be given to the Ministry of People's Empowerment. That would allow for the caregivers and the social workers, there are about 1,000 of them, when they're going into their homes to assist the elderly to protect themselves. And for Rosalind Hurley and the groups that fall under the disabled community, and you know that I fall into that group with my daughter, we're going to make sure that every person under the council will get at least a bottle to start with. We really thank those who came on board for this initiative, and we are asking other persons in corporate Barbados to help. The first batch will be supplied and paid for by Mark Maloney and not the company, as the individual. And I can tell you, even the sponsor of this show and one of the groups, one of the companies, NSR Limited, Everett Keesman, actually took some steps to ensure that his staff were given small loans so they can buy vitamin C, et cetera. And I wanted to mention this because everyone can get on board and share supply. There's absolutely no need for people to hoard. And the sad part is when you do that, it does not help the stopping of the spread of the virus. Actually, it makes it worse because having all this toilet paper and hand sanitizer at your home, obviously to stop the spread, you need other people to wash their hands. And if you do that, then you are not allowing everyone to practice safe hygiene. So if my voice, even if it's just one person, please, you need to stop the hoarding. What we did and what we will continue to do, providing those who can afford will assist us in buying, we will make sure that those who can't have will have. So I made a joke with someone and said, well, if they're hoarding the goods, we will hoard for the poor. So, and that is basically what we are doing over the next couple of weeks. So I am a concerned mom, and truthfully, I am very concerned. And I took about 2 days to wrap my brain around this because of my daughter and her condition, my mom on dialysis, et cetera. And of course, we're concerned. But if we panic, then we're not going to concentrate on what we need to do. We're not going to concentrate on the right information, and we're not going to take the right actions. So I agree with people. Be concerned, but don't be overly concerned to the point that you panic. And if there's anything that I can do or any of the citizens can do, I think we need to help each other. This is not a case of a black and white, money or no money. This disease does not recognize that.
All right. So thank you very much, Joanne, for letting us know that, bringing us in to know in terms of where that initiative is and where it's going. I'll give some final words to Dr. Adrian Exercise Lord. Thanks for being
just,
with us.
Just to let you know that I'm going to be gathering this afternoon, Family Wellness Day, in Vaught Close in St. Thomas. Starts at 1 till 6, so you'll see me there. But yes, prepare yourself. Be ready. Protect yourself if necessary. Remember, hand washing and personal hygiene is very important. Soap and water, or if hand sanitizers, if they're available, and look after your health. Do not stress yourself, because that could affect your immune system. So you need to keep active if possible. Be careful.
As usual, I have your questions here that I didn't get to read, and I'll pass them on during the week. So stay tuned. To those of you on the line, apologies. But I want to say thank you very much to Dr. Lord for coming and spending some time here, sharing your experience and your knowledge. Thank my technical operator and producer, Dennis. Thank you, the callers, those on the chat, those on the WhatsApp. And I want to remind you of the number before we go, 436-4500, 436-4500. And I say, finally, thanks as we bring this Brass Tack Sunday to a close. Thanks to Williams Industries Incorporated.